Now, notice some of my language there. It was in terms of most, right? Most postmillennialists. Sometimes I'll say some postmillennialists. And this is one of the difficulties of teaching a course on eschatology, because, you know, every view has its own shades within it. So I can really only go on the, I don't want to call it the majority views, maybe the most frequently taught views, or the views we're more likely to come into contact with in our own circles. So if I don't keep saying that, do hear it, all right? And we will try to nuance some of it as we go along, but we just don't have time to do, you know, all 10 flavors of postmillennialism, all 100 of premillennial dispensationalism, and so forth, okay? So, postmillennialism believes that most of the signs of the times have been fulfilled, and that the 1,000 years is a figurative term for a future golden age of Christianity on earth, when the devil will be almost totally bound and the earth almost totally Christianized, followed by a brief period of satanic loosing and the Lord's return to earth for the final judgment. Let's break that down a bit. Postmillennialism believes that most of the signs of the times have been fulfilled. Now, most post-mills believe there will be a final apostasy at the end of human history, though it does not tend to be as serious or as significant as that envisaged by amillennialists before Christ's second coming. So remember, postmillennialism is seeing this onward upwards. Amill is a wee bit, you know, more up and down, but in general, sort of seeing it going down the way. There is a minority of postmillennialists that reject any possibility of a final apostasy and believe that the gospel conquest will be so complete that not one unbeliever will be left in the world. And again, there's a range on this. Postmillennialists who want to eliminate or minimize the final apostasy usually teach that Matthew 24 describes the signs present during the Great Tribulation before and during the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Remember, Emil is seeing two things, Jerusalem and the world, 70 AD and the end of the world. The post-mill reads this, or some post-mills, as all taking place 70 AD, usually teaching that Revelation was written before 70 AD and also refers to the imminent events around the destruction of Jerusalem. So referring to Nero's persecutions, the Roman Jewish War, the great apostasy, the rise of Antichrist are past. I want to come back to that in a moment. Some postmillennialists have modified their past tense interpretation of Matthew 24 and Revelation. They say that although most of the signs have passed, there may be a few just before the very end of the 1,000 years on earth. Now, you might be familiar with the terms full and partial preterism, which relate to postmillennialism. Full preterism, or sometimes called, especially by its critics, hyper-preterism, basically says that Matthew 24 and Revelation 20 and Daniel have all been fulfilled. Daniel was fulfilled in the 2nd century BC. Matthew 24, Revelation fulfilled 70 AD. They're saying all end-time signs have been fulfilled. Preter means past. So preterism is pastism. All the signs are in the past. Hyper or full preterism is generally viewed as outside of orthodoxy and in some circles regarded as heresy. But partial preterism is seen as within the realm of orthodoxy, has been held by many very orthodox, conservative, and even reformed theologians. And they say most of the signs were fulfilled in the past, including the destruction of Jerusalem, the Antichrist, the Great Tribulation, and even the coming of Christ in terms of judgment. They speak of a judgment coming of Christ. You know, Matthew 24 speaks of Christ coming to judge, and they would say that happened in Jerusalem at 70 AD. Again, you'd need to read tomes to, you know, distinguish views within each of these camps. But I hope in general you can see that postmillennialists want to see the signs in general as past, the really bad signs at least, because we want a golden age. We want things onward, upwards, moving towards a Christianization of the world. So, believe many of the signs, most of the signs of the times have been fulfilled. And that the 1,000 years is a figurative term for a future golden age of Christianity on earth. Now, some postmillennialists have held to a literal 1,000 years, but most take it to be a very long period of time, not an exact 1,000-year period. Some say the 1,000 years will happen very suddenly and obviously. Others say it will be much more gradual, it will be more of a merge, a fade into a golden millennial age, during which time the kingdom of God will be greatly extended. Social life, economic life, political life, cultural life will be vastly improved. Prosperity and peace will abound. Turning to Revelation 20, the first resurrection there is seen as a spiritual regeneration, a revival of the elect on earth. They do not see, and this is shared with amillennialists, they do not see a future or present visible reign of Christ on earth, on an earthly throne. So the 1,000 years is a figurative term for a future golden age of Christianity on earth when the devil will be almost totally bound. So he's limited just now. He's bound just now to a certain extent. He's not able to deceive and control the nations as he did, but this is moving towards a much more complete, a much more perfect binding of the devil when everything will be under his control. Did I say the devil there? Christ, I meant to say. Evil will be subdued and reduced to negligible proportions. And the earth almost totally Christianized. It doesn't mean to say everyone will be converted, but everywhere will be Christianized. The world will be controlled or dominated by Christians. There'll be a large-scale conversion of the Jews. Some see this happening by the preaching of the gospel in unprecedented power of the Holy Spirit. Others see it as much more of a political and social change, or maybe you could say in addition, much more of a political and social change from the top down. This golden age is based on many Old Testament predictions of a messianic kingdom bringing in universal peace and spiritual prosperity. And it's admitted there aren't many New Testament references to support this because the New Testament emphasis is not on peace, but warfare, not on prosperity, but tribulation. However, people point to, say, the mustard seed, to great tree, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, passages describing Christ's kingdom and its progress. The Great Commission is also used not just as an announcement of the gospel, but a promise that the nations will be discipled. Romans 11 describes the Jews' conversion as being like life from the dead. And then another, they're called majority success texts. John 12, 31, 32, Revelation 7, 9 to 10. So in this respect, it's similar to premillennialism in that it sees a largely earthly realization of the kingdom of God during present history. And this Christianization is followed by a brief period of satanic loosing. Most posts do accept that golden though the future will be, Satan will be unloosed for a short time against the church. So a brief period of apostasy, brief period of conflict between good and evil, Armageddon, but it won't really harm the church too much. And then that's followed by the Lord's return to earth for the final judgment. Like amillennialism, post-mill sees Christ returning after the 1,000 years. Then Christ will appear to destroy the devil, establish the eternal kingdom. He'll return to a largely Christianized world. He'll resurrect all the dead. He'll conduct the final judgment and assign all people their permanent eternal destiny. And at that point, Christ's millennial kingdom comes to an end. He hands the kingdom over to the Father. And thus, post-millennialists really see four phases: the past age, the present age, the golden age, and the eternal age. The millennium, in other words, is still future. Now, I don't know how many of you are post-millennialists or pre-millennialists even, so I do want you, if you are here and you are prepared to put your hand up, to tell me, am I misrepresenting, okay? I don't want to be here, you know, spinning a view. I've tried to be fair, but I accept that not holding to these views myself, it's possible I could misrepresent. So please, you know, if you're here, help us as a class, help me as a teacher as well to get to be accurate.